This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutner with me, Kusu Chuang and Tan Chung Han. What a week it's been for oil. Both Brent and West Texas Intermediate gained over 3% this week. Brent, of course, is the global benchmark, while WTI is the American standard. So where to from now? On the line, we have Tim Mahalan, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to begin with the multi-year highs that oil prices have achieved. What's driving this rally?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, first, you know, Venezuela, given their problems, there's been some supply taken off the market. But also between Russia and Saudi Arabia, you know, they've pretty much held to some production cuts. And I think the lack of infrastructure and drilling over the past couple years has served to reduce the surplus above the five-year average, which at the start of last year was 340 million barrels. It's down to 10 million barrels. So what you're seeing here is, you know, there's been some discipline, there's been good demand because of the global economy, and you can really see the supply situation right now, which I think is supportive, because you're looking at the backwardation now in the futures contracts. By that, I mean the front contracts are higher than the deferred contracts, which should be natural. Full carry market should be contango the other way around. So it's a supply situation. This week, I think tomorrow, I believe, in Jeddah, you're going to have OPEC plus Russia meeting and just getting ready for the full OPEC meeting. And they seem to want $80 a barrel. So they seem to be on track here.
Yeah, Tim, Chuang here. Yeah, I mean, you know, just going past the lingo and trying to break it down for the normal human being here. You know, really, realistically, the thing is, with the Saudi Arabians being one of the biggest producers of crude in the market, and with them preparing for a listing of Saudi Aramco, would they really be, you know, part of the whole, you know, perhaps seen as an artificial rise in oil prices so that they can get a better valuation for what will be the world's biggest IPO?
You know, they're certainly going to get a better valuation. There's no question about that. But as far as them being the linchpin behind this, I think it's been a coming together of strong demand. And you can find no stronger demand than in refining products, which also, by the way, have some short supply right now. So I think what they're looking at is a perfect coming together of a lot of things based on the fact there has been no real new production coming online, aside from fracking. But I think what you're seeing is a rise in global demand, and it's really now demand versus supply, and supply is contracting. So it is really a perfect situation coming into their listing, which I'm certain is going to be what they had, you know, best hope that they had.
Hey, Tim, Han here. So earlier you mentioned that meeting in Jeddah between OPEC and Russia, right? And all signs point to a prolonging of those supply cuts. So what do you think could derail those plans? Would it come down the geopolitics channel, or, you know, where could it possibly come from?
Yeah, because geopolitics now, given what's going on in Syria and Iran, that certainly is something that could really, you know, set things off. So that's always out there as well. But I think the short of a recession, which doesn't appear to be on the horizon near term, I think that the forces are in motion because you just can't bring supply. Yet I think the best place to be right now, incidentally, is Texas, fracker in Texas. However, I think what you're looking at, you just can't bring supplies like that online. And, you know, Saudi Arabia needs it for their budget purposes. So this is a real good situation, I think, for, you know, for them. And I just don't see anything short of a global recession that could really halt what's happening right now, the fundamentals.
Yeah, Tim, just one more quick viewpoint from you, because obviously energy, the whole sector is very interesting in Malaysia, and Saparoy Energy, one of the biggest services providers, is very much in interest here. Not sure you know the counter, but I want to point out that Dennis Gartman, one of the commodity so-called gurus, he's on a shorting trail where oil prices are concerned. He's looking for between $5 and $7 of dollars to the downside. Would this be a trade that would be looming on the horizon for you guys?
Well, I have known Dennis for 30 years, okay? And Dennis is very good. However, in this case, if it does go down 5 to 7, the only reason that will be, I think, would be just a long liquidation. But I don't think from here. I think from above a new high, maybe you're going to get a pullback, because you do have a lot of spec longs in the market. So other than that, the 5 to 7 seems like quite a bit, in my view. So I think it looks like any dip of that magnitude, I think, would certainly be a buying opportunity. So, you know, Dennis is very good, but I think right now you've got, and I look at, and I mentioned the front month nearby contracts trading above the deferred forward contracts is to me a classic supply squeeze situation.
Hey, Tim, so given this expected rally in the broader commodity space, how do you think that's feeding into other asset classes, well, equities in particular?
Yeah, it's interesting because today we got a shot from equities because of the spike, 10-year yields getting ever closer to 3%, which doesn't really seem that high to me. But I think that the commodities are, again, reflective of this global, the global strength, economic strength. And I think we better get used to higher commodity prices because I think you're going to see commodity markets, the likes of which we have not seen since probably the 70s and the 80s. So I think this is a cycle in commodities that's going to be very, very good to those involved with commodities. So I'm very bullish on the commodity market in general, and that would fit in line with being bullish, I believe, on the global economy. That would fit with that as well. So that's where my view is, and I think let's get used to these commodities because we're going to see some swings, and I think we're going to see some action in commodities that many people haven't seen probably in their careers.
Tim, back on equities, and Malaysia is the benchmark KLCI, the FBM KLCI, is at a record high, and this is a bit incongruous, I guess, because of the political uncertainty from the upcoming May 9th polls, which are just days away. Is it too simplistic an argument to suggest that Malaysia is seeing such record inflows because it's seen as a proxy to the energy commodity cycle?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, and especially in your region, I mean, that's the best. To me, looking forward, going forward here, the growth and where you're looking in the future, you could be probably better positioned. So I don't, I think it's no coincidence. I think it's really, I think, symbolic of the global trend right now in commodities. And I think you're right at ground zero.
Well, in terms of where the KLCI has got to go, how much more spare ammunition do you think the KLCI might be recipients of?
Well, that, I'm not really sure, except I would say when you're in a nice trend and a defined trend, and you want to look for pullbacks, so long as you don't break a trend line, and I think you look at those as buying opportunities, and nothing really goes straight up except Amazon, but. I think that you look at these trends and identify a trend and you want to stick with the trend, and I think there's probably no clearer view. Now, the one thing I probably would shy away from would be bonds right now. I think bonds, and especially EM bonds, I think could have a little bit of an issue. But I think as far as equities and exposure to that sector, I think that's the sector you want to be in the equity markets globally. And I think that's going to be the trend we're going to hopefully be. We'll see if I'm right in the next few months, but I think that's what I want to be looking at.
Tim, we're less than 2 weeks out from the next U.S. Federal Reserve meeting. Can the Fed still afford to stick to its gradual pace in terms of tightening U.S. interest rates?
I tell you, I used to have so much. The Fed was, everything. To me, I think the Fed's, and I mean this in a respectful way, but meaningless. First of all, they don't have all the board seats full. They're complaining about their overstress. Secondly, they're telegraphing everything, and I think that they're just trying to normalize. And basically, I think that their job or what they're doing right now is pretty much, I don't think, that difficult. They are concerned, however, having said that, with this flattening of the yield curve. It's not inverted, but the flattening of the yield curve. So I think that you're not going to see any shocks unless you really get some inflation. But, I never thought I'd even say this, but Rand Paul, he used to say this before, the Fed, I think that's probably the case right now because I don't think they've really served any real purpose other than expanding the balance sheet and then them trying to contract it. So to me, they're going to do what they're going to do, but I do think that the bond market here is in a early stages of an uptrend, and that's going to start dictating what the Fed does.
Thank you very much, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. We'll be back with more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.